Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello and welcome to the Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and it's such a joy to be here with you. Are you going through any type of chaos in your life, any type of commotion, any type of change? I love these airport signs that we see that says everybody is going through something. And that is so true. It is absolutely true. So we're going to have a guest today that's going to address some of those concerns. So full techniques, a lot of kind of a workshop show today, which I love about what we do in the Aware Show. I also want to mention, if you go to my website, which is theawareshow.com, you'll be able to see all the different places that I broadcast throughout the week here and simulcast on WBAI and Hay House Radio. And I have a TV show on Gaia TV called Inspirations on Gaia. And inspirationsongaia.com, if you go there, there's great preview interviews of all of the guests that you like to hear on the radio shows. You actually get to see them on video, and the really great transformational interviews as well. Once again, conscious media is something that is an active, you are an active participant in. You don't just listen passively. You actually change as a result of listening to the show. I do. Every single day, this is my oasis. It's my safety net. So welcome. So, all right, change. Are you going through any type of chaos, overwhelm? Do you have, as a result of that change that you're going through, do you have mixed emotions having to do with that, that could have to do with confusion, anger, frustration, resentment? It's all a part of it. As we've heard many times, change is the only constant, yet it continues to confuse us. And joining me is our wonderful expert today, Arjong Zendehel.
Zendehel.
Zendehel. Thank you so much. I've got a D in there. That was his wonderful voice, by the way.
Thank you.
Incredible voice. Training and researching over 14 different disciplines to master the secrets of success and fulfillment. And when I find somebody who really goes through learning and immersing themselves in these different types of disciplines and coming up with one that really covers it and works for all of it, that's a lot of work, my friend. That's a lot of information. So welcome.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yes. And if you've been doing this for a long time.
Yes, I have. Yes. More than 25 years, I've been doing a lot of training. And like yourself, I know you've done a lot of different things. And
yeah.
I was on the radio like yourself for about 10 years as a radio talk show host. So that was a small university for me.
Yes, it is. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
I mean, just listening to the show and getting to host it is such an honor. It's
yes, absolutely.
So fun.
Absolutely. So I feel a kinship with you. I've admired you for decades. You have such a wonderful, warm voice and do great work. We've had some similar guests throughout the years, so I just really honor your work and what you're doing for the world. I want to acknowledge you. And your producer, Gina, also.
Yes.
An amazing woman. She's wonderful, and I just met Joyce today. Fantastic.
Yes. Both gifts to the planet.
Absolutely.
So how did you get started in this? So you've been doing this for 25 years, but take us back to when you weren't doing it.
So, you know, I started out, I was at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of confusion because
mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I wanted to major in. That's how it started.
That's
a sophomore at UCLA.
Most people going into college are undeclared.
Yeah. And I was a sophomore at the time.
Okay.
So that confusion became sadness and depression, and it built and built. And then my aunt said, why don't you do some meditation, do some yoga. Maybe it'll relax you. You'll find the answer. I said, okay. You know, life has a way of kicking us in the behind, if
yes.
that's okay to say,
yes.
sometimes until we're willing to grow. And so anyways, when my mind calmed down, I realized communication was the major to do. And that's how my personal development journey started. And I just studied a lot of different disciplines, from personal development, went to business school, became a certified mediator, studied neurolinguistic programming.
Oh, that's a fascinating transition.
And much, much, much more. Quantum physics, metaphysics, etc. So it's just been a pure pleasure.
So you went to business school and became a mediator.
I went to Pepperdine's business school for business, got my MBA. I went to their law school and became a certified mediator in their law school.
Fascinating.
Yes.
And so do you ever combine what you do in terms of personal development? And really, those are great skills to bring into mediation.
I actually do. I created a technique called self-mediation. There was a basic fundamental that I discovered in mediation. So I created a process where you actually go inside and mediate inner conflict. It's called self-mediation.
Where you kind of have an inner dialogue?
Yes. You have an inner dialogue, but you also access your own subconscious and support your own subconscious to resolve. It's one of the most beautiful transformational techniques that I use. It's phenomenal.
Is meditation the base of that?
There's no one base, because what happened was once I learned a lot of these different disciplines, did a lot of seminars, programs, I saw there was great things out there. There's amazing teachers, as you well know.
Right.
And I saw there were certain things that were missing. So I took what I thought was the best wisdom from a lot of the different disciplines and then created a really revolutionary step-by-step system so that people can create results and transformation for themselves in all aspects of their lives for the rest of their lives. So it's systemizing it. And then mm-hmm. I also created my own cutting edge techniques that we call precision transformation technology.
Which we're going to talk about here.
Yes.
So Dreamality.
Yes. Dreamality is the name of our organization, mm-hmm. which is a combination of two other words. If you're like, what is that word? I have not seen it in the dictionary.
Love it. Yeah.
Do you know what those two words are by any chance, Lisa?
Dream and reality.
Very good.
Uh-huh.
Excellent. So we support people to achieve their potential and live their dreams.
But
to take their dreams and make it into reality.
Make it, yeah, turn it into reality.
Exactly.
There's a tendency in the spiritual community to go through kind of a spiritual bypass where you can meditate away your problems and completely deny certain things, that relationships.
Exactly.
The tactile stuff in your life.
Exactly.
And it's possible to do, but it does wind up catching up with you in the long run.
It does. And I ultimately don't think that's the purpose for us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have come into a physical body.
Right.
We could have been just spiritual beings. So really, as far as I'm concerned, the purpose is the integration of the spiritual and the physical to be fully in the physical world while also being spiritual and mastering the physical world. So it's about integrating the two and really learning how to be good people, holy people, godly, spiritual, kind, mm-hmm. loving, happy, while dealing with the challenges of life.
So let's talk about that, challenges of life. So I was in actually a meditation the other day, and I was looking at all these different buckets in my life. And a lot of us have different things that we do.
You yes. know,
especially in the busy city, you've got all of your side hustles, and then you've got family, and you've got things, you know, and your parents, and all these buckets that we have in our lives, right? And each one, it can get totally overwhelming.
Yes.
And then you add on all of the taxes and things that you have to do in life. And there's a certain natural tendency to become overwhelmed.
Yes.
And have anxiety about all of it.
Yes.
And you have some tools around emotions.
Yes. So as I mentioned, we have the precision transformation technology, which I created, which are very precise step-by-step techniques. I'm a very systematic person.
I get that.
So it's literally step-by-step, you go through the process and you create change. So for example, there's self-coaching, which is accessing and reprogramming your own subconscious.
Like you were talking about with the new, yeah.
Right. Self-mediation we spoke about. Burler communication, which is for communication. Now, a subset of that, I've created a series of techniques that I call emotional transformation.
Okay.
So now how that works is generally with emotions, what we do as human beings, we either suppress it, we try to control it, right? Mm-hmm. People ask me, how do I control my emotions, whatever the emotion, mm-hmm. or we dump it on someone else. So if we have anger, we take it out on someone else, the person we're angry at, or maybe innocent bystanders. Mm-hmm. If we're really good, we have the emotion, we don't let it stop us, we move forward anyways. And the most popular techniques out there teach us how to manage our emotions. We're very familiar with anger management, for example.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. I'm managing the emotion. It's not controlling me. I'm in charge of it. But within the term is its own limitation, which is
manage.
It's managed,
yes.
but it's not gone.
Right.
So the emotion.
Not expressed.
So let's say I have anger. I've managed the anger, but I haven't got rid of it. I still feel the anger. Are you with me?
Totally, yes.
And then I notice a lot of the techniques out there, even though the most advanced NLP, et cetera, they're vague. They talk, you know, you go into the past. It's not emotion specific. So you deal with different emotions, but it's not specifically for each of the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So what I discovered, and really a lot of it is working on myself, is that every major emotion has a general pattern to it.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, first of all, where do our emotions come from? Maybe it's
we learn them.
Back up to that, right?
Yeah, they're learned. Most of them, aren't they?
So all emotions actually come from our thoughts.
Well, yeah.
Whether conscious or subconscious thoughts, all emotions come from our thoughts. They don't come from our life circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what people do that makes us feel sad or angry or happy or frustrated.
It's our thoughts about those things, right?
It's our thoughts, our interpretations about those things, which is of huge importance because it's the invisible layer. Most of us live life, I used to, something happens, I feel sad or angry or frustrated. I'm like, well, they made me sad. This is causing me anger. This is causing me fear. That is actually not true. It's how I'm thinking and interpreting what is happening that makes me feel the way that I do.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's invisible to us, we get sometimes deluded to thinking it's the outside that makes me feel the way that I do. In reality, and this is not just my understanding, the emotions that we have come from our thoughts, our interpretations, the lenses that we see the world. Jim Carrey had a great quote. He said, the famous actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, our eyes, and I'm paraphrasing, are not just viewers. They're also projectors projecting a story over the scene that we see.
Yes. That's a great quote.
Right.
That's a great quote. If you really look at that, it's like what you would see in a film.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we have this narration going on, and that narrative, those thought patterns, beliefs, are ultimately what make us feel the way that we do, both conscious and subconscious. We hold subconscious thoughts, beliefs. So what I recognize is that there are different thought patterns to different emotions. So, for example, you spoke about overwhelm, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the things that happens with overwhelm is usually we visualize what's happening as bigger than us. So if I were to ask the person, close your eyes, you're overwhelmed, imagine what's happening. They see like, you know, their life or whatever's happening is bigger than them.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing
or
they
out
might
of control.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or they might say, I have to, they use the language, I have to do this, have to do that, which creates pressure.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain pattern that creates overwhelm. So if you undo that pattern, you can undo the emotion. So what I created is a series of techniques called emotional transformation, which is not just about managing the emotion. It's literally how to transform your emotion from a negative to neutral or positive state of being.
That's really helpful.
Right. So for example, anger into peace.
Mm-hmm.
When I say anger, it's the whole family of anger. Anger, frustration, irritation, annoyance, even
Let's take
hate.
That as an example.
Yeah.
So you can't just go from anger to peace. What are the steps that you take?
Right. So to actually teach it, it's going to take longer than this radio show, just to be clear, to
How
be
many
realistic.
Days?
It's not days. I usually teach it over two sessions. There's a foundation to it that I teach first, which I'd like to cover today. At least we can do that.
Yes.
And then there's the actual anger to peace that we cover after the foundation, which we cover. Once the person understands it, then it's easier to administer. We're literally, I feel angry or frustrated towards someone. I do X, Y, Z. It's a precise step-by-step technique. At the end of it, I feel at peace towards the same person or situation.
What if you're angry at yourself?
It could be. It's the same thing.
Same thing. Good.
So now, all anger,
yes,
right, comes from
thoughts,
unmet expectations.
Yes, unmet needs.
It's not just needs, it's expectations. So anytime, if you look at your life and you look at areas in your life where you felt angry, frustrated, impatient, you will notice that you had an underlying expectation that wasn't met.
Of how things should be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, is it okay if I ask you maybe some anger or frustration you've had recently that's unresolved or some expectation? So we can actually use that if it's okay.
Well, it's an interesting question because in my father is in the hospital and he's going through a very tough challenging health situations. And the hospital nutrition is not there. The food alone could really kill you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
It seems to be so difficult to get anything to move in that environment.
Yes.
It feels so corporatized.
Got it. So what's the emotion that you feel?
Frustration.
Frustration.
Yeah.
Okay.
Frustration with not being able to make a difference, enough of a difference.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you, the listener, to also, while we're doing this, to think for yourself, mm-hmm. an anger, frustration, disappointment, upset that you have. And think about, now I'm asking you, Lisa, what do you expect?
Well, because it's a system, you know, it's like there's a system involved here, and I don't know how to change the system. So I'd like to affect the system.
So do you expect, for example, I expect them to treat my dad well and feed him good food, for example, if we were to simplify it.
Yeah, that's kind of unrealistic, isn't it?
But is that accurate?
Yeah, that would be nice. Green juices and so forth could really help him.
Right. So I expect the system to be supportive of my dad's health, whom I love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Very understandable. Expectations are understandable. The issue with expectations, do you mind now we go into depth into it?
Yeah.
Okay. So now the question is, what's the problem with expectations? Because we've all had them.
Mm-hmm.
It's very natural and normal. And it's okay we have expectations. It's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Very understandable,
yeah.
Like your example. So what's the problem with expectations? So first of all, let's define it. So expectations is desire. We all have, when we have an expectation, there's a desire underneath it, right? You want your dad to be given good food to be taken care of so he can be healthy,
mm-hmm.
correct? So there's
yes.
a want, a desire.
Yes.
The problem with expectation is that it's not just desire. It's desire plus certain attachment. Not only do I want it to be this way, I expect mm-hmm. it. It's supposed to be. It should be this way. The metaphor I use, it's like an octopus.
Mm-hmm.
So the center is the desire, but it's got tentacles, and the tentacles is my mind saying, this is supposed, it has to be this way. It should be this way. I expect
yes.
him to be taken care of, or I expect myself not to feel sad, or I expect there not to be traffic.
Well, I think there should be green juices in hospitals. How hard is that?
It's a valid point. Now, again, expectation has both good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, to actually clear it, this is why it's a deeper discussion, because people say, what do you mean? Why shouldn't I have expectations? It's valid. Within expectation is both good and bad. The problem with expectation, it's a projection of the mind. It's me projecting onto life, others, myself,
something
circumstances.
Something that I feel out of control about.
Out of control and what should be.
Right.
It's not just I want it. It's supposed to be.
It's common sense.
It has to be the way I think it should be.
Yes.
The way I expect it to be. It's almost a projection of the ego to some extent. I expect it to be this way.
Yeah.
So now we say, okay, so what's the problem with that? When we don't get what we expect, how do we feel? What's the emotional cost?
Angry, frustrated. Yes.
Disappointed.
Unsolvable. All of these things.
Sad, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So when we don't get what we expect, we might feel bitter, even hateful. I'm not saying in your situation. These are some possible emotions.
Sad.
So one of the things you want to recognize, all of us, is our emotions are a guidance system to the effectiveness of our thought patterns.
Okay.
When we have an emotion that is negative or dark,
they're a guidance system.
It is telling us that there is something off with our thinking. We're not connecting to higher truth. We may be connecting to partial truth, but not higher truth. All negative emotions, Lisa, right,
mm-hmm.
are constricting. If you think of anger, do we feel relaxed and expanded or constricted?
Oh, yeah.
Sadness, yeah. We feel constricted.
Yeah, sad.
Fear, we feel constricted. Mm-hmm. Confusion, we feel constricted.
Mm-hmm.
All positive emotions, on the other hand, are expansive. When we feel happy, we feel
expanded, yeah.
When we feel powerful, we feel
strong.
Expanded, strong. Mm-hmm. When we feel love, we feel expanded.
Expanded, yeah.
So when we have a negative emotion, first of all, it constricts the system. It creates negative emotions, chemicals in our body. It's telling us there's something off with our way of thinking.
Emotional guidance system.
We may be connecting to partial truth, but there's something off with the way we're interpreting and seeing the reality of what's so. So the fact that expectations creates negative emotions is telling us, I'm not saying it to you. Our own body, our own emotions are telling us there's something off with this way of thinking. Our bodies tell us the truth. Our minds can lie to us, convince us that the way we're thinking is accurate and true. But our bodies tell us the truth.
Right.
They tell us where we are.
The behavior doesn't really lie.
Right.
Yeah.
So on the negative side, we feel negative emotions. So it's telling us, red light, there's something off. Now let's look at the reverse part of it. What happens when we do get what we expect? So listen to this. I expect the sun to go up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I get up, the sun's up.
Mm-hmm.
So the sun is up, it's in the morning, and the sun's up.
Okay.
So how do I feel?
Fine. Normal.
Indifferent. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to go up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal. The problem with expectations is not only on the negative side, it creates negative emotions when we don't get what we expect. When we do get what we expect, because we expected it, there's not really happiness or gratefulness. It's supposed to be. My wife is supposed to do XYZ for me. My husband's supposed to do XYZ. People are supposed to be kind. Government's supposed to be this way.
Right.
My children are supposed to be that
way. You're supposed to be green juices in the hospital.
I expect myself to do XYZ. So when I even do get what I expect, I'm just okay. I'm indifferent because it's supposed to be. So at the best, I'm okay. I'm indifferent. At worst, I have negative emotions. Expectation beyond that has more problems. There's a beautiful quote that I saw on the internet. I don't know who wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
It said, expectations are my favorite crime, and disappointment is always my punishment.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, disappointment's right.
Yeah.
That's a great way of explaining it.
Right.
Yeah.
So the problem with expectation is this form of resistance. And there's a concept, what you resist persists.
Yes.
Resistance means having a negative emotional reaction. So I want to define it. It's not just fighting against something or being against something. When I have a negative emotional reaction towards something, sadness, anger, frustration, the law of the universe is the very thing I tend to resist, I tend to attract. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the problem with expectations is we tend to ultimately, not necessarily right away, attract the very thing we expect that we don't want to happen happens. It goes against what we expect.
Yep.
It goes even beyond that, which we can explain as far as like how people take it. So if I tell you, right?
Yeah, it's good use this into an example.
Yes.
Because talking about it, it can get a little bit lost.
So let's go ahead. Thank you for asking.
If we have this in, and I open our callers as well to call in, if you have an example of an emotion that you are working through, it's good to go through this with examples of people that are actually trying to work through certain things. But we all have these emotions.
Right.
We actually have a lot of them in every single day.
Exactly. So let me try this. So if I say to you, right, say, Lisa, and then you who are listening, you can also see how it feels. I say to you, I expect you to do exactly what I say. You should do what I say. You have to do it now.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Doesn't feel good.
Right.
Because all those are expectation language.
Yes.
Makes you want to do it or not want to do it?
No, not want to do it.
Because expectations encroach on our free will. I'm kind of projecting my idea or belief on you that you should do what I expect you to do. And it doesn't feel good. So what happens is, at an unconscious or conscious level, when we express the expectation, people tend to resist, not want to do it, rebel, etc. So that's an example of what I expect actually working against me. Where people are actually not doing what I expect because I'm expressing it as expectation. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, I want to share the solution, if it's okay, because really you got to get the whole picture, because it's not just about not having an expectation. What do you replace it with? And then if it's okay.
Because it's impossible. I mean, how do you not have expectation in the world?
So here's the thing.
There are expectations by everything, the taxes and everything.
Right. So the technique that I teach, it's what I call a mother master principle. It's called zero expectations, full desire. Let me say it again.
Yeah, contradictory.
Zero expectations, full desire. It's not once you understand
right.
it. Right. So, so should I explain to you how that works, if that's okay?
So we talked about, expectations.
So we said expectations affect us negatively emotionally, bad for our health. Negative emotions are bad for our health. People don't like it generally. They tend to rebel. It creates negative results. So now we have desire. So how do we, first of all, not have expectations is the question, right? That's where acceptance comes in. Acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, acceptance has got to be defined. What do we mean by acceptance?
Right.
By the way, it sounds like expectation, but it's a very different word. So make sure we're clear. There are two different
acceptance.
Words. Acceptance. Yeah. So what is acceptance? Acceptance is accepting the reality of what's so, even though I don't like it and I don't want it and I care and I want it to be different. It's being realistic that the reality is what it is. It is what it is. I have what I have.
It is what it is.
I have what I have.
Yeah.
Now, this is very important. We got to define what acceptance is not. Because usually, first of all, I'm defining it in a certain way. And usually people who have issues with acceptance is because they misunderstand it.
Well, that is what it is phrase. I say that all the time.
Yes.
It is what it is, or else it would be another way.
No. Acceptance is not giving up. Lisa, do you mind saying that for me, please?
Acceptance is not giving up.
Beautiful. And if you're who are listening, please say it also because it's very critical.
Acceptance is not giving up. Right.
Acceptance is not giving up. It's not being indifferent and passive and uncaring and resigned, which is unhealthy and ineffective.
Right. That's usually what people, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. where usually people go. They yes. think, oh, if I accept it, that means I'm going to do nothing about it. I've given up.
Whatever.
I've resigned to it. Mm-hmm. I have to accept, you know, they think if I accept it, so then it's got to, you know, that it's going to take over and ruin my life.
Yeah.
No, so that's not what we're talking about. Acceptance is not giving up. Whenever I teach this, I have people repeat it because it's very critical in understanding.
Well, it could be really – I see what you're talking about. You can accept something. It is what it is, whatever. Move on. You don't want that because that means you're not at the effect of it. You're just taking what is and being apathetic about it.
Right. So apathy doesn't work, mm-mm. right? Because then people usually when they're apathetic or giving up, they feel
resentful.
They have hidden anger and resentment.
Yes, 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 yes.
They're not really accepting.
Right.
Later on, they get back at the person, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, acceptance, giving up says, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. Right. That's what giving up says, mm-hmm. right? Acceptance says, I care. I don't want there to be traffic. I don't want my dad not to be taken care of. I want him to be taken care of. I mm-hmm. care deeply. Mm-hmm. However, whether I like it or not, at this moment, this is the reality. It is what it is. I have what I have. I don't want it to be this way. But the reality is this way. Whether I like it or not, the wall is the wall is the wall is the wall.
How do you resign, though? That sounds apathetic to me.
It's not. Because, and the critical part is you're saying, I care.
You said a very critical piece there. You said the wall. So let's just think about that for a second. The wall. So some people don't want the wall. And what do you say? It is what it is, what it is, what it is?
No. So this is why this is a full explanation, right? So first, you got to accept the reality of what's so. Whether I like it or not, there's a wall in front of me. Mm-hmm. Whether I like it or not, and I don't like it, my dad is not being taken care of. He's not being given the kind of food I want. Mm-hmm. Whether I like it or not, this person is speaking in a mean way to me. Mm-hmm. Whether I like it or not, this is my financial situation. However, this is the reality. I care. However, I accept the reality. Acceptance doesn't mean I like it and I want it. It says this, I accept the reality of what's so.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, how's that not apathy?
It's not. Because then the next step is desire.
Okay.
So this is where it's zero expectation, full desire. Sometimes we accept something and there's nothing to do.
I see what you're saying.
Because there's nothing to do. There's nothing I can do about it. It's out of my control. A lot of times there is something I can do. That's where full desire comes.
Got it.
Desire is purified expectation. Desire is, takes out the expectation aspect, says, I accept the reality. So let's take traffic. Whether I like it or not, there's traffic. Mm-hmm. I can bang my head against the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. I can get angry. I can get frustrated. The traffic's there. Mm-hmm. So I accept the traffic. Mm-hmm. Now, I want there to not be traffic, so maybe I go on my GPS and figure out how to bypass it mm-hmm. because I want it to be different.
Right.
So the desire part has within it acceptance goes – they go together.
That's a big piece.
It's a huge piece.
Yeah.
That's why whenever I teach this, you don't just say zero expectations. That's only half the equation. It's zero expectations, full desire.
Desires.
So desire now says I accept the reality of the traffic. I want it to be different.
Yes.
So now let's see what I can do about
that's
that.
That's the big piece is what can I do now? Yeah.
The desire is the movement part. Mm-hmm. It gives me the motivation, the drive to change reality. However, from a place.
No, you're right. We can do green juice delivery service. We could do all sorts of things.
From a place of peace.
Or find an integrative medicine center.
Yes.
But yeah, there's a lot of things going on. But yes, from a place of peace.
That's the key here.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Let me give you an example. I've had clients who've had cancer, mm-hmm. right? So if the person has cancer and they're resisting the cancer, they expect them not to have cancer. Mm-hmm. They feel sad, angry, frustrated.
They shouldn't be.
Now, how is that yes. for their, is that good
immune
for their
system.
Emotions or bad?
No.
It's bad. How is that for their health?
Not good.
Makes mm-hmm. it worse, mm-hmm. right? So what I teach them is accept the reality that you have cancer at this time.
Okay.
This is the reality. That gives you peace and power, actually, because when we are not accepting, we're reacting, we lose our power to the situation
yes,
or person.
Yes, because we go into anger and resentment and all those.
Which actually means we're reactive and losing our power. The mm-hmm. thing has control over us.
Okay.
So I say, accept the reality of the cancer. Now, of course you care. Now, want it to be different and do everything you can to heal it. From a place of acceptance and desire, though, not from a place of resistance and expectation.
Okay, what if someone else is involved? So I'm taking like an in-law for an example. And you don't like your in-laws and you're...
Who doesn't like their in-laws,
I know,
Lisa?
Right? This is very common, right?
Right.
And so you're saying, okay, well, accept the fact that that's my in-law, but I don't like them.
I don't want it to be that way.
I don't want it to be that way. So how do you change another person?
Well, we don't have control over others.
Right.
We don't have direct control. We have influence and we can persuade them. Now, here's the thing. If I don't like my in-laws... And I'm angry and resentful, upset at them, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I want to talk to them to get them to do things the way I expect them to do, mm-hmm. right? So, Lisa, I have a gift for you.
Okay.
It's wrapped in barbed wire, however. Do you want it?
No.
So when I communicate with anger, even though I'm
right.
not saying it, the emotion is there. With expectation, it could be the best message that I have to deliver to this person.
But it's not going to get accepted. Yeah.
But because I've wrapped it in negative emotions, barbed wire, mm-hmm. unconsciously people push it away. There's an escalation. There could be a fight, argument. Or if I can overpower the person, let's say it's my child, maybe later on or perhaps or likely they'll get back to me at some point in the future.
Yeah.
So desire, how do we define desire? Desire is desiring without attachment. It's accepting if I don't get it and I want it. So therefore, I have a certain level of independence whether this thing happens or not. And it actually allows me to have self-mastery because I'm accepting of not getting the result. So I want it and I go after it, but I don't expect it. So what happens? So let's talk about the thoughts and language of desire. Desire says...
Wait, before we do that, I'm going to ask one more time for listeners. Give us a call if you have something that you have that is a emotion that you want to transform, a situation, chaos, something in your life that you want to transform. And we can talk about that here. And Arjane will actually be the one it's going to be coaching you through it. The phone number is 818-985-KPFK. And we can go through some of these transformations because it's always great when we apply it to real life situations. So we've learned about expectations.
Right. So desire now.
Desire.
Mm-hmm. Desire says, if it's about myself, I can say I commit to. That's strong desire.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to. I intend to.
Mm-hmm.
If it's for others, I say, Lisa, I would love for you to do this. I would appreciate it if you do this. I
mm-hmm.
request that you do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It would be great if you do this. Please do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I desire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see what happens when we do desire without expectation. And I don't get what I desire. So I buy a lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I want to win it.
Right.
But I have no expectations I'm going to win it. I want it, but it's okay if it doesn't happen.
Okay.
So then I buy the lottery ticket. I have zero expectations, full desire, and I don't win the lottery ticket. So how do I feel?
But I'm disappointed.
No. That's expectation. Because I want it, I'm not expecting it. I accept not winning it. I actually feel at peace. I'm okay if I don't win. I'm okay. I'm accepting. I'm at peace I don't win. I am because,
yeah.
again, it's because I'm coming from desire, right? Remember, desire has within it acceptance of not getting what you want. Now, mm-hmm. let's reverse it. Let's say I do get what I desire.
Mm-hmm.
I want my spouse to do something. I want the government to do something. I want my child, my friend, whoever to do something. And
mm-hmm.
they do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect it.
So I really love when my, you know, husband brings me flowers.
It's that much better.
Or my wife, you know, makes this great dish. I want it. I said it to her, but I don't expect it. And boom, this person does it.
Mm.
Now how do I feel?
It's elated.
Elated.
Yes.
Happy.
Yes.
Appreciative.
Yes.
Surprised. See, desire allows gratefulness.
Yes.
When we expect things, and I get what I expect, remember, I expected it, so what? But when I have desire and I don't expect it,
it's even better.
I feel appreciative, grateful. And I know you know the importance of gratefulness.
But how do you set any types of goals? But we're going to talk about that. Someone is calling in here about the desire piece. And let's go to Chuck in Los Angeles, who's talking about, has a question for you. And I'm saying this right. Arjang?
Arjang, yes.
Arjang, great. Okay. Yes.
Like beige or Bijan, Arjang.
Arjang, okay.
Yes.
All right. What is your question, Chuck, for Arjang?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. This is a really fascinating subject. But I was wondering what your hosts or your guests would say. Lisa, I'm sure you've heard of Seth and Jane Roberts, the medium.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he in this conversation, it just struck me that Seth said, intent and desire rule all actions and are the basis for all reality. Now, what would your guests have to say to that statement? I mean, what's his analysis of that statement? I'm just curious.
So you're looking for the desire.
I didn't understand the statement fully. Hi, Chuck. Thank you for calling, Chuck. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating topic.
Can you repeat the statement, though? I didn't hear exactly what you said.
My philosophy of life. He said, intent and desire rule all actions and are the basis for all reality. So can you, is that working at all in your area of the philosophy?
Desire is the basis.
Did you say attend and desire? What was the first word?
Yeah. Rule all actions and are the basis for all reality.
No, before desire, you said something. Attend and desire?
Yes, correct.
What does attend mean? Lisa, do you get that word? I'm not sure.
Nope.
So I'm not sure exactly what you mean by the statement. Does it mean desire is good or not good?
Good. Desire rules all reality. He's saying, do you agree with the fact that desire rules all reality?
Desire rules reality.
And intention, so forth.
Intention.
Well, I don't know about ruling reality. Certainly desire is a motivating factor. You know, I'll take it to this. Eastern philosophy says do away with dependency and attachments and expectations and desire. So they actually
shows up in a couple places.
Eastern philosophy, they say, you know, do away with all desire because you desire something, you don't get it, you know, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Which never made sense to me. I felt it was throwing away the baby with the bathwater. In other words, expectations, as we mentioned, creates problems. Attachment and dependency is a whole other subject, huge subject, creates problems. But desire is necessary for me to be motivated, to have the drive to go after things, to set goals, to marry, to have kids, to work, to have everything. I need desire to motivate me and get me going. So desire is necessary and good as long as we let go of the expectations aspect of it and the dependency, which is, again, a whole other subject, the attachment to getting what I want. That is a very balanced philosophy, which allows me to have inner peace, calm, and power, and still be motivated and have the drive to go into the physical world and actualize what I want.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that answered his question.
Kind of, but I do. I hear what you're saying, Chuck, and thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate
thanks.
It.
Okay, let's go to our next caller, Jody in Los Angeles. She's got a question for you. Hi, Jody. Hello. Okay, you have to turn the radio down there. Jody? Our Jody caller. Oh. Okay, we'll go to the next caller. All right, Rachel in Los Angeles. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. What is your question?
Okay, my question is I work with a friend. A friend helped me get a job. And our boss is not on site where we work.
Okay.
And so we have a lot of free time, and people kind of take advantage of that. But I get really frustrated because she'll say she's coming in a certain time, but then she'll come in like a couple hours late or a half hour or an hour. And then I know I have a lot of expectation Mm-hmm. I want it to be one way, but I get really frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes me act kind of like passive aggressively, but I just don't, you know what I mean, know what to do about it.
Interesting. Oh, it's a great question.
So here's what we want to all realize. Whether we like it or not, there's darkness in humanity in the world. People sometimes don't keep their word. They're late. People cheat, kill, do all kinds of negative things. Whether we like it or not, it's part of the human condition. Acceptance says accept the reality of this condition. Again, I'm not saying give up. This is very critical. Acceptance is not giving up. I don't want it to be this way. And I personally am a stand against all of these things. But because, first of all, I accept the reality, that gives me the peace and the power, so I'm not reacting, right? Then, two, because I want it to be different, now I do everything I can to change it, to make it better, etc. So in this situation, right, the statement would be, I accept my coworker being late and not keeping her word. I want her to be on time and keep her word.
Mm-hmm.
And now that, you know, that calms me down, and I repeat it until it calms me down, then I say, okay, now what do I do about it? Well, do I talk to her? Do I go to my boss? What do I do to resolve the situation? So that allows me to have both inner peace and calm. The desire part gives me the drive to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because I have inner peace and calm, I'm also more effective in dealing with the person. So, dear listener, Lisa, if I say to you, you know, I want you to do this. I'd love for you to do this. My request is that you do this, right? I'd really appreciate it if you do this. How do you feel, Lisa, when I speak to you this way?
It feels honoring.
I'm respecting your free will.
Yes.
And are you more or less likely to do what I want?
More likely.
Yes. So here's what I'm sharing with people. Expectation is self-sabotaging. When we expect things and we express it with you should, you have to, people don't want to do it. I actually am sabotaging my own communication. It makes people less likely to do it. But when I say, I want you to, I request, I'd love for you to, etc., it makes people more open because I'm respecting their free will and they're more likely to do it. It's paradoxical. Mm-hmm. By actually not using the negative emotion and the force of expectation, giving person free will, I'm more likely to get what I want. Now, of course, can we develop persuasion skills beyond that, communication skills to be effective? Yes. But here's what I'm saying. Desire is what allows us to then communicate with people in a persuasive way instead of a dictatorial way.
So say, I appreciate it if you would show up during this time. If you don't, you're going to manage your own state around it, so it doesn't really matter if that person does or doesn't.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Now,
so in our
yes.
friend's example
yes.
here, she then you're saying she has to have control over whether or not she's upset.
What I'm saying is, our emotions are our responsibility. By accepting her friend is late, and ask yourself, have you ever been late? Have you ever broken your word, right? By accepting and understanding where this person is coming from and wanting it to be different, that's where you're not giving up. That's the full desire part. Then you can go to the next step. You can still hold the person responsible.
Mm-hmm.
There can be consequences given.
Or words, you know.
Or words,
so,
et cetera.
Rachel, does this make any sense to you? What would you say to your friend?
Yeah, he said he said two things that were really effective. A lot of times my emotions get in the way of communicating anyway, and it backfires. And then also what he said was that darkness exists in the world. So it's just like a fact that people are out of integrity. I mean, I'm out of integrity, of course, too, in different aspects of life.
Yeah.
Just accepting that as a fact and then not getting worked up.
Yes. And then still wanting it to be different. This is the full desire part. Now, that doesn't mean you give up and you say, okay, she's late. No, I'm not going to do anything. You say, I want her to be on time. It's affecting us. And that's where, again, there may be different options. See, here's what happens. When we're accepting, when we're expecting and stressed and frustrated, our mind, our brain shuts down, right? We get tense. It's
mm-hmm.
hard to think clearly. When we accept and we relax, there's openness. And then our higher self can kick in, our wisdom and intuition can kick in. We become solution-oriented and we say, okay, this is the reality. I accept it. So now how do we resolve it? Do I have a conversation with her? Do I get the boss involved?
There's a lot of things. I mean, you could, since you're not in the managerial position, you could talk to the boss and say, is there any type of a hierarchy here? Could I be a manager? And then you would have the authority to do something that would make an impact on the other person showing up or not. If you don't want to step on toes, then is there any type of – this is funny because is there any type of reward that that person gets for showing up on time or any consequence they get for showing up late? And there's different ways to kind of look at it that way.
Right.
Different state, but I love how you're managing your state, and thank you for your call. Does any of that make sense?
Does that work for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you
yeah.
say this for me if you don't mind? Say, I accept this person being late and out of integrity. Say that for me, please.
I accept this person being late and out of integrity.
I want them to be on time or early and in integrity.
I want them to be on time and early and in integrity.
Good. Now, if you repeatedly said that and you really absorb that, how would you feel?
I feel more calm.
Yes. But still have the drive then to do something about it. That's the desire part, right?
Hmm. Interesting.
Do you see that?
Yes.
And then from
darkness in the world. I appreciate you.
Yeah. From calmness, then you go and resolve it.
Hey, you got a great job, though. All right. Thank you.
Let me give an example. People always ask me if it's okay.
Uh-huh.
People say, well, don't you expect your wife – I've been happily married, thank God, for more than 17 years. Don't you expect your wife to be faithful?
Mm-hmm.
That's a zinger, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you not
yes.
expect your wife to be faithful, right?
Yes.
So what I answer to them is, my wife – all of us have free will. I accept if she's not faithful. I want her to be faithful. I hold her responsible to be faithful and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And there's consequences if she's not faithful.
Okay.
But I know from what I teach and experience that by expecting it and being attached to it, that's going to create negative emotions where it could create – maybe it could bring in a negative dynamics. And the amazing thing is all the years that I dated and before, and I also was with my wife, I was never – I never had an issue with – if the person cheated on me as far as like worrying about it, et cetera, because I always thought, okay, if they don't want to be with me, that means there's someone else. We can break up, move on. It's okay. And it was not an issue for me. So it never happened. Not once did a woman I was with cheat on me. In reverse, I've worked with people who have jealousy issues. The person's cheating on them. And they always have this resistance and anger and expectation.
And angst,
yeah. It almost like, mm-hmm. again, attracts it.
Yeah.
But when you're at peace with it, and again, I want her to be faithful. I hold her responsible. There's teeth to desire because I can do things with
okay.
her.
Okay. Let's get to some rapid-fire questions here if we can. So let's see here. We've got Frida in Los Angeles. Hi, Frida. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question for Arjang?
Yes, I do. Hi, how are you guys?
Great.
I really appreciate your show. I was listening in it. I resonated a lot with it. I really like it. But
good.
One of my questions.
Good. Thank you.
Was you're welcome. It was, how can I make acceptance easier in the sense where I don't hold resentment?
Mm. Okay. So part of it is understanding what acceptance is. So there's an intellectual understanding, this discussion we're having, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once you understand it, then it's internalizing it into the subconscious, practicing it, breathing into it. You know, there's two pathways to our emotions. One is the mind, which is the root. There's also another pathway, which is the body. So when I relax my body, it supports me to be in acceptance, right? Acceptance supports me to relax my body, and relaxing my body supports me to be in acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
They work together,
mm-hmm.
right? So taking deep breaths, calming myself down, saying whether I like it or not, this is the reality, I accept it. Again, zero expectation, full desire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want it to be different, express the desire, and then go after it. So really, it's a matter of understanding it and then practicing it, practicing it, practicing it, so you become better and better at it.
So specifically, your question was what? Tell me what your question specifically is.
Well, for example, like, I've had people hurt me that I was really close to, and I feel like I let it go. In the sense where I'm not going to go after them and hurt them, right? And I don't have the desire to try and fix things because I just know, like, it's not going to work with those
right.
specific people.
Right. So betrayal is what you're dealing with.
Yes.
Yes.
And I just want to know how to, like, accept that without having that resentment towards them.
Right. Sometimes people say, I let it go. And that could be giving up, by the way. When they say I let it go, it's not very clear when people use that terminology. I'm like, so you let it go. What does that mean? Did you accept it or did you give up? So first you got to make sure.
Well, it's a negative term, I guess you could say, because it, I am ignoring it. So you are right. Like it is.
Gave up in a sense, yes.
See, this is again where people confuse giving up with acceptance. Any issue people have with acceptance is because they're really thinking it means giving up. So it's really about learning not to give up and accept it. And then it may be good, again, depending on the circumstances, to really, you know, write an outline, maybe speak to the person, see if you can resolve it, clear the issue between you. There's a process I teach. It's called inner clearing, outer clearing. Most people, they either hold emotions in, they don't say anything, or they get really angry and resentful, and that escalates things. Both of those are not effective. I apologize for this metaphor. It's like needing to go to the bathroom, and you either hold it in or you do it on someone else. Neither of those are effective. What is effective is you go to a private place, you calm down. That's what the inner clearing is. You mm-hmm. deal with your own emotion. And once you're calm, then you do outer clearing, which is I clear the issue with the person. I talk to them, listen, resolve.
She doesn't want to do that. I got that. She didn't want to do that. So how could she clear that within herself?
So are you sure you're not wanting to clear it with her because you're – it's the right thing to do or because you're afraid or resistant?
I just feel like there's – from there, like I'm willing to talk to them, but I'm pretty sure that that person that betrayed me doesn't care to work it out with me. You know what I mean? Like I could do my part, but they won't do their part. And I know this like 100%.
Okay. So she has the desire to make it work. Mm-hmm.
So that's where if there's nothing to do, why resist it? Why make yourself feel bad? If this is the reality, you accept it. And if there's something to do, why resist it and get yourself upset? Accept it and talk to her and resolve it. Either way, acceptance is the way to go. If I may give a metaphor, Lisa, which I think might be effective. Have you ever driven a stick shift automobile?
Yeah.
Manual transmission, right?
Yes.
In a stick shift car, how do we go from first to second gear? We put our foot on the
clutch.
And the clutch takes the transmission into?
Don't know, but the next
neutral.
Gear, right? Okay.
Takes you into neutral.
Yeah.
And then from neutral, you can shift gears. You can go to second
right.
gear.
Right, okay.
So first gear.
Is that what the clutch does?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Takes the transmission into neutral.
Okay.
Then I can shift gears, go into second, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Now, so going into neutral is like going into acceptance. In order to change it, I got to accept it first. Then I can shift gears peacefully, powerfully, etc. But I'm like, no, you know. F this business of acceptance. I'm just going to do it with force, with anger, resentment, and I want to shift the gear from first to second directly. Do you know what I do to the transmission?
Grind the gear.
Exactly.
Yes.
Which is what I do to myself when I'm not accepting and with force, resistance, frustration, mm-hmm. anger, I'm trying to change myself, my emotions, people and circumstances.
Okay. So you, I mean, I do understand that this idea of acceptance shifts something in you. That you could then make a different decision based on. So you could choose to do something and write that letter or make that contact or not. So it does shift something in you. It's in that space right there where it shifts something in you when you accept it. And then you make a different decision.
Yes. Lita, if you don't mind, thank you so much for calling. Does that answer you?
Yes, yes. Thank you very much for your help. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rita.
Lisa, I care about you. I want to go back to what you said. You don't mind trying this on, right? How about you say, I accept how they're feeding my dad in the hospital. Not that you like it. Try it on.
I accept that they're feeding my dad.
This is what's happening,
yes,
right?
Yes, they're feeding him. That's nice.
Not quality foods.
Right.
Say that.
Not quality foods.
I want them to feed him quality foods.
I want them to feed him something other than mashed meat.
Right. Right? So now, if you were to, again, this is why the anger to peace is a much bigger process.
Yes.
I'm just giving you kind of the foundation of it. There's
yes.
more to it. Now, if you really meant that, I accept the reality, this is what they're feeding him at this time,
mm-hmm.
and I want it to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And you really breathe that in and accept it, and then want it to be different, and then go about finding ways to make it better. So if you really, truly absorb that acceptance
mm-hmm.
in what I'm saying, how do you imagine you would feel?
Oh, much better. Yeah.
More calm, more peaceful, right?
More calm, yes. I actually did have a conversation with Mom on the way here. She's going to go to the market. She's going to get the green juices. I sent her the ingredients, and she's going to go bring them in.
There you go.
So it's just the injustice part bothers me. But
yeah.
All right, gosh, do we have time for one more phone call?
So here's the part is there's layers of expectation. So it's also accepting injustice in the world, and then I want justice. Does that make sense? I accept injustice, want justice. So we have layers of expectation. So if I'm not at peace, I got to say, what else am I expecting? Because there may be another layer.
Injustice drives me nuts. That's one of my hot topics.
So it's accepting injustice because it exists.
Okay,
and
it sure
wanting
does.
Justice.
It sure does.
Wanting justice, yes. And doing your best to create justice, right?
Okay. And injustice. I mean, you have a workshop coming up. Yes.
Yes.
Tell me about the work. So you can go through this all day. Very exciting.
Yes. Well, it's what we do is far more than this, right? We teach people how to achieve their potential and live their dreams. And as I mentioned, we have created a revolutionary step-by-step system. We do accelerated transformation. My expertise is supporting people at a root subconscious level. And we've had people achieve emotional transformation. I've supported people change all kinds of emotions. You can get rid of any negative emotion you have. Absolutely. I mean that. We've had people achieve higher levels of peace and power, mm-hmm. get married, heal relationships,
great.
Release 10 to 160 pounds, increase their income 10 to 900%, mm-hmm. etc. So what we have is an introductory seminar coming up. It's called a Dreamality Introductory Seminar called Jumpstart Your Dreams. You gain powerful insights and techniques to immediately upgrade your life. Plus, you discover what our innovative programs can do for you.
Okay.
It's this coming Monday, April 15th, and next Monday, April 22nd. It's a one-night introductory seminar. You can come to either one. 6:30 check-in is from 7 to 9. It's a $100 value that we're providing to the first 40 callers, people who contact us, because we have limited spacing. And it's in West LA. I don't know if you want me to give
but it's as a gift to the first 40.
So it's a gift to the first 40 callers. And I say 40 because we have limited spaces, so
yes.
We make sure that we can, you know, provide you space. And they can go to our website. It's dreamality.com, dreamality.com. And you can call us at 310-573-1325. Again, 310-573-1325.
Great. And that's either this Monday or next Monday, the 15th or the 22nd, 6:30 p.m. It is available for the first 40 people as a gift.
For each event.
Yes, for each event. And it's in Santa Monica, by the way.
West LA, close to Santa Monica.
Yeah. So register, call 310-573-1325 or go to dreamality.com. And thank you so much, Arjane. You've had a lot of impact on our listeners today.
My pleasure. And we also have a 9-week seminar after if people want to register for that. Or if they are not listening to this live, they can go to our website, find out dates. They can sign up for our email list for future dates. So we have a lot of ways for you to be in contact with us.
I love it. DreamAlity.com. Thank you so much. And also you can go to theawareshow.com for all the information as well. I am Lisa Garr, and until next time, I invite you to stay aware.